Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, I am the Ayatollah Pete Donaldson, ready to rock your world. I'm joined by Luke Moore, hello.
Hello.
You all right, mate?
I'm pretty good,
you're on
yeah.
Your phone, you're tapping out a little message.
Just texting, yeah.
Good.
Sorry, I'm done now, though.
Right.
Welcome to 2020!
Sort of behaviour I will be pilloried for in 2020.
2020, 2020. Everyone's now like Blade Runner.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that when Blade Runner was set?
I got here in a flying car.
Is this where Blade Runner was set?
No, 2019, I think.
Oh.
I think. Yeah.
Well, we're already in the future.
Did
then,
you get here in a flying car or not?
I got here in a train. Underground train.
Underground?
A lot of cities don't have them.
That's a future.
A lot of American cities don't have underground trains.
Did you wake up on the 1st of January, yesterday, and see what was instantly different? Because we're now in 2020. Because 2020 feels like it's a big thing. Like it feels like now we've got a decade where we can say, it's the 20s.
It's the 20s.
It's tough to get an anchor point before.
I'm going to be a flapper.
Do it.
I'm going to do the dupe.
It rhymes with that. Peter, I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day, and I completely agree, and people listening at home to the all-new futuristic Luke and Pete show, hopefully a lot of them will understand what I mean here.
Katie, can you put some laser sounds in here?
Katie, do lasers here. And there was a 10-year period through from 2010 through to now, just the other day, where there was no anchor point.
Yeah.
I didn't know what decade I was in.
Right.
Before I was in the noughties, before that I was in the 90s.
We were in the teens, baby.
Now,
we were balls deep in the teens.
It doesn't sound right, especially when you say it like that. Do you know what I mean, though, Pete?
Yeah.
Now there's an anchor point.
Please say the show title is going to be Balls Deep in the Teens.
It's not going to be that, is it?
What a start to the year.
After Monday's Bone the Meshers, it's not going to be that.
Come on.
Yeah.
I've got no professional broadcasting now. I can say what I bloody want. This is going to be me, live and unleashed. I've got no, like, they can't fire me from Absolute Radio. I'm already gone.
Do a burp.
I can't now. That's why I needed a can
Katie,
of
put a burp on that.
Put a burp, followed by a laser noise, followed by another burp.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie. All right, let's just leave Katie a pause for that now. Thanks, Katie.
Just Katie.
If nothing else, we'll know whether she listens or not, won't we? What are your high hopes for 2020, Pete?
I want people to stop sending us spam email to the fucking Luke and Pete. It makes my half a job an actual job.
You've got nothing
job to
do now. You've literally got nothing to do.
You said let's do some Christmas emails last week to get rid of them. I'm like, all right, let's do the Coffee Club Auckland Christmas Day opening hours for
Pete,
some kind of Auckland City coffee shop.
When that trade website reported that you had left Absolute Radio. And
right,
he said in the article to spend more time on his production company, Stakhanov.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I don't know what he's going to fucking do. I don't know what he's going to do.
Clear out this email box.
Do you know what you're going to do?
Clear out this email box of spam.
We do have a lot of spam emails.
It grinds my gears. I've never got involved.
I think about a year ago.
We need to just burn. Just leave the email address on some waste ground and burn it.
About a year ago, I think we were kind of short of content.
Right.
And we've been doing something and we were busy or whatever. And we said, oh yeah, wherever you are, put in hello at lukeandpeacher.com as your email address.
We should never have done that.
It was ridiculous. 5,077 emails later. Ridiculous. For example, hotel football, they're involved. Bills, no, restaurants. If anything,
I like a bit of Bills. I've started doing like a jazz night at the one near me.
It gives us a...
Jazz night, baby!
It gives us a good insight into where our listeners are. Because I've seen an email here from a place called Wood in Shades,
right,
which is a quite obscure Nicholson's pub that I drive past sometimes.
Okay.
And I always remember it because I think that's a weird name for a pub. And we've got an email from there. So one of our listeners has been listening to the show or has been had the show in mind while being sat in there. So all joking aside, it's 2020 now. There should be a solution to this, shouldn't there?
Yeah.
I should better get it.
We should all drink MD 2020 until we're happy with the situation.
Imagine Tom Cruise in the film Minority Report.
Right.
I should better go.
Right.
Bring up spam. Spam. Get rid. Get rid.
I think the very idea of the word spam. Kids will know it, but they won't know where it's come from. Nobody eats corned beef anymore.
Where does it come from?
It's not even corned beef, it's ham.
It's like a shit version of ham, and that's what
shit
that's
ham.
What's called spam, because it's like a shit version of emails. Should be called spemails then.
I think it's, I mean, spam is a registered trademark. I'd be furious if I was them. I wonder if there was ever a battle, a court battle. Yeah. Spam, I'm fairly certain spam's a trademark. Never mind.
If you learn nothing else today,
nothing else.
You've learned that this is going to be the same old but shit.
My voice is still fucked.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucked.
But what are your high hopes for 2020?
I don't know.
World peace?
World peace.
Is the world still on fire? Probably.
I imagine sort of being in a coma for 10 years, going to sleep in 2010 and then waking up now, you'd be like, what the fuck?
That's a good idea. Do you know
we've
what I'm going to do?
Regressed.
I'm going to actually go to the Wikipedia page for 2010 and find out some of the things that happened. I don't know if it has changed that much.
You are? Well, it's got worse. Well, it hasn't changed that much, but it's just got worse. Everyone's got better mobile phones. We've all got better computers. And there are people in at football matches doing monkey chants. Yeah. It's like, wow, yeah, we've moved backwards, haven't we, really, in many ways.
So if you were around in 2010 and you went into a coma at the end of 2010, some of the things you'd remember would be the Burj Khalifa in Dubai was officially opened.
Oh, good.
The 2010 Winter Olympics were held in Vancouver. Yeah?
Okay.
That was...
Who won that? Eddie Eagle Edwards involved.
Do you remember the President of Poland was killed in an air crash? Remember that?
Oh, I really don't remember that at all.
That was like a big deal, yeah. 96 people were killed in an airplane crash in Russia and the Polish president was on board.
Jiminy cricket. That's incredible.
By the way, I feel like I should know more about this. Have you heard of this might be right up your street. The 2010 flash crash.
The flash crash?
On May 6th, 2010, a $1 trillion stock market crash occurred across 36 minutes, initiated by a series of automated trading programs in a feedback loop.
Ha! Did someone try to divide by zero?
I mean, that is a financial problem that I literally cannot understand. Like most of them are, really.
Interesting.
WikiLeaks released some stuff about the war in Afghanistan. And Germany. This is a good one. October 3rd, 2010, 10 years ago, just over, Germany made its final reparation payment for World War I.
Yeah.
That is fascinating, isn't it?
That's what kicked off World War II in many ways.
And December 21st.
Reparations, the diktat.
Yeah.
Ow!
Quite.
The Treaty of Rapallo, was it Rapallo or Locarno? I forget.
I think it's the Locarno Treaty. The first total lunar eclipse to occur since 1638 took place.
I remember that. I think I remember where I was.
On the day of the northern winter solstice and the southern summer solstice. The first time a lunar eclipse happened on that day since 1638. You don't remember where you were in 1638, Pete?
No.
That's almost certain. And so what have we learned since then?
I wasn't... since then? Literally not. Like, what's gotten better? Like, certainly in the UK.
The Wikipedia page for 2020 is quite ambitious.
Basic.
It's quite ambitious.
Right.
So these are the things that will happen in 2020.
How is that Wikipedia page? Your predictions?
Brexit withdrawal agreement. That's in there.
That's in there.
Yeah. And there will be another solar eclipse on December 14th. That's something to look forward to. I don't think you can say nothing's got better.
Right.
Since 2010.
Okay.
In 2010 in the summer, you and I went to South Africa together. We went to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And we had to share a bed for a week.
We did.
So don't tell me your life's not got better since then.
Well, you know, it's all right for us, Jack, innit? That's how the Tories work. We get better. The poor people get poorer.
It got better for me than being chased around a scary South African house in the one of the world's most violent cities by you with a cattle prod.
Yeah.
Which is something that actually happened.
I never actually connected with anyone. I didn't even do it on myself, which...
You did do it on yourself.
Did I do it on myself?
Yeah, you did. Drunk. You did it on yourself.
Yeah. And that's what really hurts.
Someone said to me when I was at school, when you get older for a job, you're going to run around a terrifying house in a terrifying city being chased by a man with a cattle prod from Hartlepool.
Yeah.
I'll probably say...
I'll take it. Both hands, please.
I'm from Gosport. I was thinking it could have been worse. No, that's not great. Did you, one of the things we missed over Christmas, by the way, probably the least heartwarming story that you could imagine at Christmas. I mean, I'll just read the first line of the story. Tesco has suspended production of charity Christmas cards at a factory in China after a six-year-old girl found a message from workers inside one. Allegedly written by prisoners from Shanghai claiming they were forced to work against their will. I mean, this is absolutely shocking.
Is it?
I think it's like awful.
Why is everyone ringing? Why was everybody, because we are recording in the future, why was everyone kind of wringing their hands?
I'm not wringing my hands. I'm just saying it kind of...
No, but like clutching their pants about like how we know this goes on. We know how capitalism works. Like...
Yeah, maybe there's a disconnect.
Cognitive dissonance. The man on the street not realising where his shit comes from.
But it brings it home, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a particularly stark
example, isn't it? It's like a kid going to buy a couple of... with his mum going to the supermarket and buying a couple of bits of chicken and then watching a chicken be violently murdered in front of it. Mm. I'm not saying, you know, obviously people should understand where their food comes from. This stuff goes on, I get it. But I'm just saying it kind of brings it home. And I found it personally quite shocking for all the kind of woolly, fluffy, probably pathetic reasons, like it's Christmas, it's awful to think of that happening. And it's awful, actually, to think that a company like Tesco, and of course, I don't know if this has been proven, but it's been alleged here by the BBC, that Tesco is using that in one of their supply chains, essentially using prison labour from China to manufacture their Christmas cards. That's quite a shocking story.
Every single last manufacturer of... every single supermarket will have a relationship with... somewhere down the line with forced labour. It's just how capitalism and the world works and how China works and how Taiwan works and how Korea works. It happens a lot
in the US as well. A lot of manufacturing goes on in prisons in the US as well, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the prisons are just one... big license plates manufacturers and everything else that they make.
I think a lot of like white goods are made by prisoners in the US.
Yeah, charged. You know,
I mean, they technically get paid, but I mean, yeah.
But like, they technically get paid, but it's a tiny amount. And like things like where I think I said before that they used to like fight fires in like California and stuff, but because they're convicts, so they're trained up as firemen and firewomen to fight these fires. And then when they get out of prison, because they're felons, they're not allowed to apply to be a fireman.
Yeah, right. There's a really good book. It's a slightly different but related subject. And there's a brilliant book, I think it won the Pulitzer, called Slavery by Another Name by Douglas Blackman. And it talks about what happened after the abolishment of slavery in the US after the Civil War. So the Reconstruction period, basically, all the way through to World War II. And then basically, essentially how... slavery essentially continued in a different way, in lots of different creative, if you want to use that word, ways between then and essentially 1939. It's an incredible story.
Well, look at the way people are like imprisoned not only with bricks and mortar, but with just circumstance. You know what I mean? Like in the US, where people have health insurance and it's tied to their
income, to their
job, and they're scared to move jobs because they will lose their premiums, they will lose all of these things that they had, and so they're scared to lose their job. They're scared to take holiday because they don't get holiday pay. It's like it is. There are certain aspects of that. Slavery. Like
I get it. changing trains ever so slightly, I know how much you like to roll your eyes at these, and I'm quite cynical about them as well. But there was a couple of things in. These predictions about the tech trends for 2020, which I thought might be quite interesting to talk about. One is One is apparently, according to a guy called Guy Norris, who is senior editor at Aviation Week and Space Technology magazine, which sounds like a pretty good job actually. 2020 is going to be a pivotal year for space travel. Apparently, since NASA retired the space shuttle in 2011, the US has been relying on Russian spacecraft to transport astronauts to the ISS. But that's going to change this year because apparently two US-built spacecraft are going to start carrying crew. One of them is made by Boeing, so insert your own joke there in light of the 737 MAX problems. But apparently...
they'll have a lot more time to think about it.
Yeah, true.
Being in space.
It can carry up to seven astronauts into orbit, apparently, the Boeing's impressively titled, if nothing else, CST-100 Starliner.
Cool.
And they're testing it, and the first manned flight is likely to be this year. And the SpaceX Dragon capsule will go through some final tests, and that will be ready for a crewed mission later this year as well. Now, of course, these things always go wrong in some part, so maybe it'll be delayed, but it's quite interesting. And the talk is that of Jeff Bezos, he's thinking of even more creative ways to not pay tax and looking to do some space travel himself. Oh, going to space? Does that satisfy you?
You'll never get my tax off me now.
You want it?
I'm on the moon, baby.
You want my tax? Well, you can come and fucking get it. By the way, I'm on Mars. See ya. He could say that maybe, for example.
Yeah.
And the other thing, Pete, which is right up your street and something I found bloody interesting as well, is these flexible displays on mobile phones.
Mm.
I love that.
Yeah.
Where's that coming out?
I had my eye on the old Galaxy foldable phone for a little while because it came out. People were started peeling off a protective layer that wasn't designed to come off.
Oh, good.
By people,
do you mean you? Because that's what you were talking about on Monday.
I love peeling any kind of layer off. But they did quite a good thing. Like they sent out test units to the press. The press said, this is shit.
Why?
So they went, because some people had peeled off the protective layer that protected the screen. And obviously that breaks it. People would experience dust particles and things breaking and smashing. But the inherent problem with foldable displays is they're actually quite fragile.
Right.
So that's only going to get better.
So the big move apparently is the Samsung was a bit of a canary in the mine. And apparently, as I was reading in preparation for this show, and this is not an area of expertise for me, but just for what I've read and based on my notes, there's a company called TCL,
right,
who are the second biggest maker of TVs in China. And they've apparently invested...
Not for all the TVs in China.
They've apparently invested in a lot of prison labor. No, in a lot of... they've invested $5.5 billion in developing flexible displays ahead of moving into that market.
Right,
so
okay.
Apparently they're going to improve a great deal very, very soon. And they're going to not only be just for mobile phones, but they're going to be for smartwatches and smart speakers.
Right, okay.
I don't know why you need one for a smart speaker, presumably because it could wrap around the...
Yeah, I guess
the
so.
The speaker itself.
I like the because they're quite circular, aren't they? Yeah. Smart speakers. I like the what's that flip phone that everyone had? The Motorola Razr.
Yeah.
That's back and that's using a foldable display.
That was wicked back in the day.
The new one looks pretty good. It's a full Android experience on a flippy flip phone.
They talk about the Motorola Razr a lot on Revisiting.
Right, it's a classic.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
One of two phones that I desperately wanted as a kid, but I never got. And by kid, I mean late teens or whatever. That was one. The other one was the one from The Matrix, the Nokia one.
Yes.
Where you press the button, it flips out.
Boop.
That was great.
You could probably still, I reckon there's some enterprising company that probably makes something similar. You press a button on the side of a phone and it goes, and opens your iPhone for you. That would be amazing.
I'd love that.
Lovely.
I would love that. Invest in that.
Yeah.
2020, people.
You're
going to
invest in anything, guys.
Let's take a quick break, Peter. After which, I'm going to... It's a bold prediction.
Right.
I'm going to deliver an email, which is possibly going to be the high watermark for the entire year. So don't go anywhere. Stick around for that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Wonderful rolling of the arse on Julian Assange there.
Yeah.
Democracy Manifest!
What's Julian Assange up to in 2020, man?
I don't know, man. He's did he get acquitted of his rape trial in Sweden? I think
I believe he did. I'm going to just...
That was an interesting situation.
Here we go. He's given an interview about the rooms he stayed in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Cool.
There's not much going on, to be honest.
Oh, no.
All right, what about this email? So I did pre-promote before the break that I was going to do an email which I think will really make you laugh, Pete.
Mm.
And it's from Reese Ferguson.
Hey, Reese.
And he says, hi, guys. This isn't really related to anything you've recently spoken about, apart from Pete saying the word Worcestershire in a recent episode.
Mm.
It reminded me of a brilliant video I once found, which I think you'll enjoy. It's fairly simple. It's an old Italian man desperately trying to pronounce Worcestershire sauce.
Right, okay. Right? Yeah.
Have you seen it, Pete?
I think I have. You mentioned this on WhatsApp, but I think but it doesn't matter. I'm going to enjoy it. It's a good clip.
It's a guy being... I'll set the scene. It's a guy being filmed, presumably by his son, and he's got a bottle of, like... It's not Liam Perrins, but it's like Heinz Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what that is. They have that in the US. I'm sure they do.
I find it hard to say anyway. I'm an English speaker.
You get a go.
Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a better effort than this.
This one drop of Worcestershire.
No. Ready, Sega.
We got to use this one shusha.
I don't know.
One just star shine. One just shine. One just shishara. One just shushar. One just shari. No, shari. One just shari. You know, almost this argument that the drop like my name, Sharap.
He starts to infect other words. He can't say one.
Shire.
Yay!
I told you the truth. I don't know what kind of the country come this from, but I'm Italian. I don't know what I gotta say. It's written in Italian now. Worcestershire. Sauce.
Sauce! Love your job.
Brilliant.
That gives me life.
I love the fact that also in that video, he's wearing a t-shirt that says, no sweat, no sauce.
Enjoyable.
What a great man.
What a lovely chap.
It reminds me of when Marcello Bielsa tried to say the word Ipswich.
Oh, Ipswich?
Ipswich.
Ipswich.
He just couldn't say it. It's brilliant. Ipswich.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's also particularly funny for me because I also obviously pronounce every foreign word brilliantly.
Correctly.
Never get it wrong. So, yeah. Hello at lukeandpeacher.com is the email address, I should say, Pete, before you go on.
Yeah. Sean got in touch before Christmas. So I want to stick this in because we haven't mentioned this and I forgot how good this was. Emailing to let you guys know of a proper idiot moment a friend of mine, Ross, had at our house Christmas dinner. Before the dinner, we were talking about our general distaste for Christmas music, and Ross asked me, have you heard the raspy song where the guy sings, are you hanging up your stocking on the wall?
Right.
To which I replied, no.
Right.
He played it, and I realised he was talking about everybody. You know, here is it. Here is every Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Slade.
Yeah, Slade.
Here
yeah,
is
yeah,
Merry
Slade.
Christmas, everybody's having fun.
Yeah, yeah everybody yeah. say yeah. Which of course I have heard. I have heard.
Yeah.
But he played an edited version where the lyrics are all "Are you hanging up your stocking on the wall?" Have you heard this clip?
No.
Basically, someone's took the song. Here it is, Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
But he's edited it in a wonderful way so that every lyric is, are you hanging up your stocking on the wall?
Okay.
And it sounds, I'm going to use the word, demented.
Let's go.
Only a couple of minutes long. Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall?
Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Oh, God.
Hanging up your stocking on your wall. Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Lot in there, lot
wow.
in there. I was going to say he edited it, but he's clearly just sang it himself.
I didn't expect it to be so enjoyable.
Yeah, but imagine hearing that and going, have you heard that rasping Christmas song?
Well, you goes,
are you hanging up your stocking?
Pete, I was absolutely terrified because when you started that email, he said, do you know the Christmas song, are you hanging up your stocking on the wall?
Right.
And I was thinking, yeah. I thought he was going to say, that's not the lyrics.
Right.
I thought he was going to say, no, he doesn't actually say that. Right, it was going to be one of these misheard lyrics, I think, and I was going to be guilty of it. I was trying to work out whether I was going to own up to it or not, or go, oh, what an idiot. I never thought it was that.
Did you hear that Scottish kid who was trying to sing? I think it was...
Jingle Bells. Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good. What a kid. Amazing kid. He deserves to be world famous, that boy.
Yeah.
Because his confidence...
It's
TV news, broadcasting, and all good viewers, but now it's time for a Christmas song, Dashing Through the Snow. And I will force off in sleigh. All the hills we go, laughing all the way. Ha ha ha. Stockings to be up.
That's wrong.
Santa's coming down.
That's wrong.
To give you presents.
That's wrong.
Every single year. Hey,
Can I just say what I love about that? So he gets two lines in the whole song right, which is the one's the first one, the other one's the most famous one. And I love the idea, because he's about eight, that kid.
Yeah.
If they come to me, TV camera and microphone, and said, sing Jingle Bells, and I didn't know it, I probably would have cried.
Right.
This kid, he's gone straight up there.
Piling.
STV, time for a wee Christmas song. I just thought, I don't know it, but I'm ploughing through it. And it's brilliant. Good on him. What a kid.
Oh, the world belongs to that boy.
Yeah. We have singularly failed to not do Christmas stuff after Christmas. So I'm going to continue that theme with this email from Alex. I don't know if you've seen this, Pete, but this is a brilliant email.
Mm.
He says, hi guys, in response to your weird Christmas party stories request, something happened just today that I think fits the bill. It was Secret Santa in the office of our international school today here in Jiangsu, China.
Mm.
And my mate John got me a present. With me being a Geordie, John got me a wind-up gift of a Sunderland shirt. However, also knowing I'm not particularly keen on spiders, he wanted to add some spice to the gift by getting some toy spiders that could fall out of the gift as I opened it.
Mm.
He's as Alex says there, oh, the hilarity, right? So you get what he's saying there.
Yeah.
So he's going to open the present, the toy spiders are going to fall out of the shirt, and he's going to shit himself. That's right. The gag, right?
What if he actually shot himself?
Alex says, the problem is, John doesn't read Chinese. And when purchasing the toy spiders from Taobao, China's equivalent to Amazon Marketplace, he didn't realise he was, in fact, purchasing baby Brazilian giant tarantulas. Further research via Google translation apps and picture comparing, we think he bought me a Chaco golden knee tarantula that is only 1 centimetre in size now, but will probably grow up to 22 centimetres in leg span. And if it's male, could live up to 10 years, but a female could live up to 25. Little John will live in the science lab at school from now on, but will be staying with my wife and I over the winter holidays to make sure it's fed and safe. I don't think I'll ever get a better Secret Santa in my life. Hats off to John.
Oh, that's a lovely end to a horrible tale.
They're looking after it.
Yeah.
They're doing exactly. Right by it at Christmas.
Doing right by a spider.
A golden
if you can't do right by a tarantula at Christmas, peace and goodwill to all spiders, that's what they say. That's the saying.
Well, I remember that marketing campaign, a golden knee tarantula is for life, not just for Christmas.
Exactly. So. Oh, that advert with the cork dog that gets thrown in the bin.
Sad. Makes
sad,
me sad.
Sad face.
Yeah.
Sad face.
It's all that, those kind of adverts and drink driving adverts.
One more, Dave. Remember that one? Back in the day. One more, Dave.
He's
in the pub and he's one more, Dave. And then he is terribly unwell. His wife is feeding him one more, Dave, from the spoon.
Yeah, that's awful.
There's soup on it. Very, very evocative. I still remember it even 20 years ago.
I forgot about that one, but that was a very, very evocative. There's an evocative one as well where there's a woman driving around a nice suburban village.
Mm.
And it's a very pleasant scene. And the voiceover says, Debbie knew her killer.
Oh.
And it goes through all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And then it turns out that she's been killed by her son behind her, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
And she stopped suddenly. He went through the back of her and killed her.
That's for getting me a tarantula for Christmas.
And ain't
you shite.
Time for a wee Christmas song. Dashing through the snow. But that's stuck with me ever since. Mm. I think about that every time I get in the car.
Okay, good.
When I have to drive my...
Looking for kids behind you in the backseat.
When I drive my like 4-year-old niece around in my car, in a little car seat.
You went, I'm watching you. If you try and kill me, I'm going to fucking
no,
do you.
I think I'm fairly certain I drive everywhere at 15 miles an hour. And I am terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful business.
Baby Shark on loop.
Mate, it's a banger.
Do.
That kid in it, Baby Shark. Something wrong with his, I don't like him.
I haven't seen the vid.
He's got like a weird face.
Is that a Scottish kid?
He just looks a bit too beautiful. It's like, ooh.
Can we start a petition for that Scottish kid to do Baby Shark?
How would he get
those wrong? Yeah. Baby Fester. Adult Fester.
Bless him.
There we go. All right, Pete. That's the first episode of 2020 in the can.
In my cans. Check out my cans.
Many thanks to everyone else at email we didn't get round to this week.
Ian, shut your noise.
And who else? Ian and Bunkles. James Tortoise. But James emails all the time.
James Tortoise.
We'll get to you at some point, James. Thanks everyone for all your support in 2019. It's great to be with you in 2020, and we'll see you next week.
Peace be with you and also with you.
When Donnie is back from his 42-week holiday.
You've just been away for Thanksgiving. Have a word with yourself. Give your head a wobble.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.